Have your Bibles, I'd like to ask you to please turn to the book of Matthew. We'd like to read from Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. The subject that's on my heart this morning is the subject of forgiveness. Forgiveness. Two things I want to ask you to begin with. First of all, if you think about everybody in the Bible, who do you think, other than Jesus Christ, He forgave more than anyone else. But who do you think in the Bible other than Jesus had the most difficult job of forgiving someone? I think probably Joseph would have been one of the ones that he's the first one that came to my mind, because Joseph had his brothers turn against him, and all that he went through in his life, he for at least 17 years, he experienced just one calamity after another. He had a lot of people working against him, and he remained faithful to God in spite of all that they did against him, and I believe did an outstanding job of forgiving, because when his brothers came to him and needed food, and he had been elevated to that position of authority where he was giving out food, you remember how Joseph said that ye thought to do evil unto me, but God meant it unto good. So that was a great blessing of Joseph to be able to forgive his brothers. There's someone in the Bible that, as I've meditated, I think there's someone else that had more to forgive than even Joseph did. And there are a lot of others. Someone else. Who is someone else that you can think of? All right, Stephen, while he was being stoned to death, and Stephen said, lay not this sin to their charge. He was literally being killed by those people, and yet he forgave them and actually prayed for those people that were killing him. So I would say that Stephen is another great example of a man that was willing to forgive. However, I don't think he's the main one. I don't think that's the most difficult thing. Who is someone else that you can think of that had a great... And everybody you've mentioned has certainly had a great burden to forgive. You said Moses? Yeah, I think Moses had a lot of problems. You know, all those people that he had been leading, and he had left Pharaoh's house, he had left all those possessions, he left all of that, and then the people that he was leading, they kept wanting to kill him. So I think that Moses had to do a lot of forgiving. In fact, he even on one occasion, he told in his communion with God, he said that, Lord, if you're going to blot somebody out of the book, blot me out of thy book and leave them in. I think that's a great example of somebody that was forgiving. I don't think that's the main one that had a lot to forgive, but that's another good one. And you think of somebody else. Okay, Jesus had to forgive more than anybody. There's no doubt. I mean, when you think about how much Jesus has forgiven us, there's nobody that has ever, even if the only sins that you think about are your sins, Jesus has forgiven more. He's forgiven you of more than you've ever begun to forgive anybody else. And Jesus is the main one. But there's somebody other than Jesus, I think, that had to forgive a lot. And we could disagree, but there are a lot of people that did forgive, aren't there? A lot of people that did forgive. And if you want to know who I think had to forgive more, I'll tell you some other time. No, I'll tell you now. I think that Mary, the mother of Jesus, when she saw all that they did to her son, when she saw all the afflictions, you go home and read about all that they did to Jesus, and his mother was there the whole time. So I think that Stephen could take him being killed easier than Mary. See, I would rather you kill me than my son. I can forgive you for doing things to me easier than I can forgive you doing something to my son. And I think as we look through the Word of God, it's absolutely amazing. Mary is one of the most amazing women in all the world. Just don't know of anybody better than Mary was. And when it comes to forgiving I think Mary was a great, great example of forgiving too. Forgive people that did something to her son, I think, is harder than to forgive people that do things against you personally. Look in your Bibles now at Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 15. The Word of God says in Matthew 18, beginning in verse 15, Jesus is speaking, and Jesus says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee," now remember we're talking about brothers in Christ, "if thy brother," and it could be a natural brother, but I think that Jesus here in its context is talking about brothers in Christ, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee," now this is not a trespass against God so much as a personal trespass. There is a major difference in the Bible when you look at trespasses and wrong being done. There are open public offenses that children of God sometimes commit. Adultery is an open offense, and it might be a personal offense to some degree to me, but it's not the same thing as what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is a personal trespass. If I say something to hurt Sister Nina's feelings, then that's a personal trespass. If I treat her wrong in some way, that's a personal trespass. And that's what this is talking about. If somebody has upset you personally, "If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone." Now, everybody here better do that. If somebody trespasses against you, you go and tell that person what they've done. You have that responsibility. That's a command from Jesus that if somebody trespasses against you, that you go and you tell that person alone, just you and that person, you try to get it worked out. "If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." So it could be settled right there, couldn't it? It could all be over and forgotten and taken care of right there that one occasion. Verse 16 says, "But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." So if I have offended Sister Nina and she comes to me and tells me what I've done wrong, and then I don't respond and I am not repentant and I'm not sorry about what I did, then she's to get one or two other people to come with her and to talk with me. The three or four of them would talk with me about what I've done wrong. They would listen to what Sister Nina has to say and listen to what I have to say. But this is God's order for how to deal with personal trespasses. You go by yourself and tell them what they've done wrong. If that doesn't work, then you take one or two with you and you go and you try to straighten it out. Verse 17 says, "And if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church." It becomes a church matter then. The reason it becomes a church matter is that brothers and sisters in Christ cannot be angry at each other and the church ignore the problem. When there are conflicts in the body, the members of the body have to address that problem. And so if there's a problem that cannot be resolved, then it has to be brought before the church. "And if you neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." In other words, that person that refuses instruction from an individual and from two or three and from the whole church, that person has to be put out of the church. Now come down to verse 21. Remember verse 15. "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone." Let me ask you this question. Jesus right here is speaking to his disciples. Do you think there was any conflict already between the disciples right here? There was. If you go back to verse 1, there was already some conflict between the disciples here. They were already having trouble. And then so Peter, listen to Peter now, after Jesus has given him instructions and said, "Now, if thy brother trespass against thee," told him what to do. Come down to verse 21. "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? See, what's Peter looking for? Peter's looking for an out. He wants to know, how far have I got to go in this matter of forgiveness? He says, till seven times. And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And I don't think Jesus meant 490 times. I think it is as often as you go to your brother, and that brother says he's sorry for what he's done, then you are to forgive that brother as often as that happens. You and I, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we're taught to love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. The Bible says, let brotherly love continue. The Word of God says, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. Now don't tell me that you can't speak to somebody and that you hate somebody, but you still love them. That's just not true. You're not deceiving anybody but yourself when you think you do love somebody, but you won't even talk to them. That kind of unforgiveness is it's an indication of a very, very evil heart. Not being willing to forgive. And then Jesus gives a parable right after he said 70 times 7. He gives a parable about the kingdom of heaven and starts in verse 23 and goes through the end of this chapter. You see, most all of this chapter is talking about forgiving. He says in verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven. Now remember the difference in the kingdom of heaven and the eternal heaven. The eternal heaven is where we go when we die. And the kingdom of heaven is what God has prepared for his obedient children while they live here in this earth. For his obedient children. If you're not going to be forgiving, you're not going to be in the kingdom of heaven. You're going to be cast out of the kingdom of heaven. So he says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. Now this king, who do you think this king represents? It represents Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Brethren, Jesus is going to come and take account of you and me. He does that. He takes account of our stewardship. And he says the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king which will take account of his servants. Verse 24 says, and when the king had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. I tried to figure this up last night, going in the back and looking at talent, looking up on the computer, how much was a talent worth and all of that. It's about $16 million. About $16 million. That's how much he owed him. He was, but that's not as important as just remembering. This man owed his king 10,000 talents. Did you know everybody here is at least that indebted to our king? We owe Jesus more than that. If we had all the money in the world, we would owe him more than that. If we were to hang on the cross and die for Jesus, we owe him more than that. But this man was 10,000 talents in debt and had not a penny to pay. Now that's your condition. I want you to remember how much you owe God, and I want you to know you don't have anything to pay for that account. 10,000 talents in debt, and this man had not a penny to pay. Verse 25 says, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant, therefore, fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him, and what's the next word? Forgave him the debt. Who forgave this man? Jesus did. Who has forgiven you? Jesus has. Now, this man who had this king who came to reckon with him that he owed that king 10,000 talents and he had not a penny to pay, that same servant had another person that owed him 100 pence. That's about it's less than one millionth of what he owed his king. And that wicked servant went to the man that owed him 100 pence. The scripture says in verse 30, well, let me read verse 29. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not. But now, let me tell you this. This man could have paid for this debt. If the servant had left him alone, he could have paid for it. It wasn't so much that he couldn't pay for it. And all he asked for, give me some time, and I'll pay you the debt. And this wicked man, he would not. Verse 30 says, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now, how in the world is he going to pay a debt while he's sitting in prison? He doesn't have any income. He can't pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Listen carefully now to verses 34 and 35. This is to you and this is to me. Listen carefully. And his Lord was wroth. Do you think God can get angry? Yes, he does. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now, he delivered him to the tormentors until that man paid it all. I want you to know, he was delivered to the tormentors as long as he lived because he couldn't pay for it. He was delivered to the tormentors. I want you to get the picture. That man that did not forgive his brother, that man was delivered by the king. He delivered him to the tormentors. There are children of God that I know today that I believe have been delivered to the tormentors because they would not forgive. They've been delivered to the tormentors. The next verse, look at verse 35. After it says, that king, that Lord, delivered that man to his tormentors. Verse 35, Jesus says to his disciples, he says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespass. Now, brethren, that's a serious matter. God will deliver you to the tormentors if you do not forgive your brothers in Christ. Now, I know that I've read and I've preached this before, but brethren, this has never had as strong an impact on me as it has this past week in reading and studying this passage of Scripture. Can you imagine, as a child of God, living in hell the rest of your life here on this earth? Can you imagine God being so wroth with you that he would deliver you to the tormentors as long as you live on this earth? Doesn't mean he stops loving you, but it does mean he stops manifesting his love and he delivers you to the tormentors. He says, my Father will deliver you to the tormentors if you don't forgive your brothers. Now, I want to ask everybody here to examine your heart. And if your brother or your sister has done something to personally offend you, then you better go and you better get that straightened out. You better follow exactly what Jesus said to do. And it doesn't matter if they've asked forgiveness a number of other times for other matters, you better forgive them whatever they've done right now. Back up just a few pages to Matthew chapter 6. We pray every time that we come together, we pray the example prayer that Jesus gave us. Look in Matthew chapter 6, notice verse 12. The scripture says, and we prayed this. Most everybody in this congregation prayed these words earlier this morning. Matthew 6 and verse 12 says that we are to pray, Jesus tells us, pray this. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, that's a serious thing. I went over a year that I wouldn't pray that part of this prayer. I was mad at somebody, and I didn't want God to deal with me the way I was dealing with that person. Do you follow me? So I just wouldn't pray. I'd get to that part of the prayer, and I'd stop. I'd skip to the next part. Well, it doesn't matter whether you pray it or whether you don't pray it. The fact is, the bottom line is, the truth is, If you do not forgive your brother of his trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you of your trespasses. Now that's the fact. Whether you pray it or not, whether you say it or not, how can you say that? Well, come down to verses 14 and 15. After he finished giving us the example prayer, it said in verse 14, after he finished, the only thing he went back to particularly address, was verse 12. And he says in verse 14, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Isn't that wonderful? If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Oh, and by the way, guess who you hurt when you don't forgive? Yeah. The other person probably doesn't even know there's a problem. Most of the time that you're so angry and so full of hatred and you're so got all this pent up anger inside, and it doesn't matter whether it's in your home or whether it's brothers and sisters in Christ or somebody at work, when you have all that anger in you, you are the one that is out of order. Now they may be out of order too, but you're out of order when you've got hatred in your heart. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, I need God to forgive me every day. You might say, well, man, we need to get a different preacher if you need to be forgiven every day. Are you telling you sin every day? I do. I sin every day of my life. The Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells me the very thoughts of foolishness is sin. And I have some foolish thoughts sometimes and say some foolish things. I joke around sometimes when I ought not to be joking around. The Bible tells me, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So I sin sins of omission. I leave undone a lot of things I ought to be doing. I want you to know I sin every day. I need God to forgive me every day. And every day I need to be praying, Lord, forgive me. And I need to pray, forgive me my trespasses as I forgive my debtors their trespasses. Why do I need to say those words? Because it reminds me, I better forgive them, because if I'm not going to forgive them, my Father's not going to forgive me. In the previous chapter, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, he's still talking about forgiveness. He used a little different terminology. But in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, Jesus says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies." I'm sorry. Of all the things in the Bible that Jesus ever tells me to do, that's my number one problem. You know, he can say, thou shalt not commit adultery. He can say, thou shalt not steal. He can say anything else in the Bible. But when it gets to love your enemies, wow. Wow. That's as hard to me. For me, that's as hard as it gets. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Brethren, following Jesus is not easy. Doing what Jesus tells you to do is not easy. You can't do what Jesus tells you to do without taking His yoke upon you and asking for His help. I cannot love my enemies by myself. It's against my human nature. I can't love my enemies. I can't even forgive my friends without Jesus' help. I've got to have Jesus to help me to forgive my friends. I've got to have Jesus to help me to love my enemies. And do you know how long it takes for you to change from being my friend to being my enemy? Did you know you and I are very fickle people? We'll turn on somebody. Oh, we can be... they can be the greatest thing on earth. Put them up on a pedestal. Next thing you know, oh, they're a demon from hell. How do we change so much? How are we so inconsistent in our lives? How can you be so full of love and then be so full of hatred? Aren't you glad that God changes not? I'm glad. And even though God will not stop loving me, God will stop manifesting His love for me. Unless I forgive my brother. How often? 70 times 7. Every time you go to him, every time he asks for forgiveness, you've got to forgive him. go with me to Ephesians. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and he's exhorting the church to be sure that they don't have any animosity in the body, no hatred in the body. And usually when there is hatred, it'll come out of your mouth. That doesn't always. But I'll say, you know, Brother David, that Brian Durrance, he just really gets on my nerves. Does he get on your nerves? You follow what I'm saying? Now, I may say to Brother Brian, oh, Brian, I love you. It's so good to see you. But if I've said something to Brother David about Brother Brian, my heart is not right. And that's the reason he begins by saying in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4 beginning with verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You get rid of all that, and you've had to almost go down into your heart and get it out of your heart. You know why? Because if it's in your heart, it's going to come out in one of those other ways. It'll come out. And then he says in verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What does he do here? He does the same thing Jesus did over there. He says, now your father, you need your father to forgive you, and you better forgive your brother. And Jesus, Paul says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You better forgive me if I hurt your feelings. You better forgive me. You better. And I better forgive you. And you better forgive your brothers and sisters in Christ. And you better forgive your family members. It's a shame and a disgrace that family members won't even speak to each other. That's demonic. The devil's in people that will not forgive. Did you hear what I just said? The devil is in people that will not forgive. You ever had the devil in you? I've had the devil in me too. And the devil is in you when you don't forgive. Go with me quickly in closing to Romans chapter 12. If you want to know whether or not you've been forgiving people, I think Romans chapter 12 helps us to be able to, it's kind of a measuring stick to tell whether or not I've really forgiven you. You want to know whether or not I've forgiven you? Here's some evidences that I've forgiven you. In Romans chapter 12, listen to verse 14. Romans chapter 12 and verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Bless them. Verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. It is my nature. If you slap me in the face, it is my nature to hit you back. That's my nature. That's the man. That's the flesh. But Christ says, if you slap me on one cheek, I'm to turn the other also. Oh, brethren, Jesus' way is very difficult, and you just can't do it. I have people say, you can't do that. Without Jesus, you can't do that. With Jesus, you can forgive and forget. Someone made the statement this week, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. That's a lie from the devil. You have not forgiven if you can't forget. If you keep bringing it up, you have not forgiven. Verse 19 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. That means don't get even. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Did God repay those people that stoned Stephen to death? Did God repay those people that crucified Jesus? Did God repay those people, children of Israel, that murmured and complained against Moses? Did God repay them? Yes, he either has or he will, one or the other. May God help us to understand that Jesus will deliver us to our tormentors, to his tormentors, if we do not forgive our brothers, is my prayer for Christ's sake.